Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey everybody, it's Levins, but who cares about me? Siobhan has some exciting news.
Guys, I'm putting on a convention. What? A convention?
Sorry, what? A convention? We hate... What were you going to say next?
I don't know. Okay. We hate conventions. No, guys.
You have a second person. You use me to be the surprise audience member. That's what I'm saying.
So you guys know about my like ladies group called Queens of Kings. We are putting on a convention. It's non-for-profit. We're just doing it out of the goodness of our own hearts. We are currently crowdfunding it. It is called Brazen. Oh, man. I should have the stuff in front of me. Brazen.
Go get it. We can pause.
Okay.
And we're back. Go.
Okay, hang on. So Brazen Comics Festival is a one-day comics festival set to be held in Sydney in May 2020. I'm just reading the actual thing because other people have worked really hard on this.
Who are those other people? Give them a shout out.
They are Elizabeth and Megan, mostly, and Natasha from Queens of Kings. Megan especially has been an absolute
champion.
Shout
out to Megan, previous guest on the show.
She's the best. So we're going to have special guests. I can't announce them yet, but they're really good ones. I'm actually really proud of us. I think we've done a good job.
I'm proud of you, too. I don't know either, but I'm already proud.
We're going to have panels. We're going to have an artist's alley. All the stuff that you like about conventions, but with a proper focus on comics, because I don't think that there's that many conventions in Sydney that are that focused on comics these days.
Good call getting Megan involved, because
it was her idea, but she's got years of crazy event organization. Yeah, literally, she was like, I cannot do the Women's March again because of my mental health, but I need to do something.
What's something that's really stress-free
and
we'll have no controversy surrounding it from the worst people in the world? I know, an all-women's comic book competition.
Well, it's not only for women, but most of the guests are going to be women or non-binary. This festival will aim to amplify, highlight, and celebrate the voices of women, non-binary, and gender-diverse people in comics and foster a connected, welcoming, and supportive community of comic fans and creators in Australia. We basically want to bring the lovely vibe of Queens of Kings to a larger audience, and I think it's going to be really good fun. If you can possibly look us up, Brazen Comics Festival, we're on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. If you could look us up and maybe chuck a couple of bucks our way.
You have a GoFundMe, but it's not GoFundMe.
It's like Chuffed.
Chuffed, that's
called
right.
Chuffed.
I donated $20.
Thanks, man. Really appreciate it. Yeah, we can't do it if we don't raise the money, and I think it's going to be something really special, something really fun, and something we're really excited about. So if you can find it in your hearts and wallets to chuck us a few bucks, we'd really appreciate it.
Are you going to have stalls of people selling comics?
Are you trying to get rid of some back issues?
Possibly.
I don't know.
Do you want me to set up a back issue market?
See, my favorite thing about cons is back issues.
Yeah, me too.
So I might talk to the girls about it and see if we can possibly do that, because I think that would be cool.
Yeah.
So maybe.
And you know what? My wife, who is a woman,
she
would think that would be especially cool if I got rid of a lot of comics.
What is going to amplify the voices of women more than getting Bee's way?
Yeah, what's a better female voice to be amplified more than the sound of relief?
But yeah, we're really excited about this, guys, and I will keep you posted on more updates, hopefully.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So that's Brazen.
Okay. Brazen Comics Festival.
All right. Now that annoying advertorial is over, let's on with the episode, which we've already recorded. And I can tell you, it's a heater.
It's a killer one, man.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Guess who's back? Back again. Shinburn's back.
Yeah, woo.
With a friend.
Hey, want to say hello, Dashi?
Oh, he's trying
He even like opened his mouth.
No, I think it wasn't to talk, it was to eat the microphone.
Yeah, yeah,
I think.
Yeah. Like an ice cream, that's what you always say.
Hey, welcome to Serious Issues, a very,
very
irregular,
very sporadic
comic book podcast. My name is Levins.
My name is Siobhan.
And we are at Siobhan's house right now.
Yeah.
Recording for the first time in 3 months.
Yeah.
I have the world's stupidest pile of comics in front of me. Like, we're well into the triple digits.
Yeah, it's insane.
We're not going to talk about all of them.
No.
You have one child on your lap. The other one is calling out from his bedroom.
We are being serenaded by...
Not napping.
Toddler madness. he prefers to be called Bugs Bunny at the moment.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Shatterstar is no more. He's Bugs Bunny.
What made-up name are we calling one on your lap right now?
He's Porky Pig.
Porky Pig.
I'm Marvin the Martian.
Okay.
And the lovely Nate is Elmer Fudd. that's my life at the moment.
That's great stuff. Well, I haven't introduced my kids to Looney Tunes yet.
Yeah, just the level of naughtiness and silliness of Bugs Bunny has just blown my toddler's mind.
Yeah, that's great. Actually, a really good idea. Thanks, Dash. Sorry, what are you
Porky
calling?
Pig.
Porky Pig. My bad.
Obviously, he's Porky Pig.
Okay, so we're gonna have a fun conversation about comics.
Absolutely,
Siobhan. People are dying to hear from you. What have you been reading lately? What have you been loving?
Okay, so the only single issues that I'm actively keeping up with are all the X-Men titles.
Okay, cool.
I'm reading all of them.
All right, so I mean, last time we recorded the final issue of the original.
Yeah.
X-Men and...
House of X.
House of
Fox
X, that's right. Fox. House of X and Powers of X hadn't even come out yet.
Mm.
I think I have the issue 6th of one of them in one of these stupid piles.
Yeah.
So you've read it all? You're up to date?
Yep, fully up to date. Except I missed the last issue of Fallen Angels.
I mean, probably that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That one kind of sucks.
You know, it's definitely the least good one, maybe. I don't know about that. Some of the tie-ins I'm
of all of them are not good.
Very true. But there's something very specific about Fallen Angels that I like. It's for such a specific audience and it seems reminiscent of such a specific time. Yes, this version of Psylocke kind of sucks and the weird borders of all the panels are a bit overdone and stuff like that. But it's kind of funny in some sense.
Yeah. Porky Pig, not a fan.
Not a fan
of this iteration of Psylocke. So, what were your thoughts overall on Hickman's Hox Pox?
It's so good.
Wasn't
it's so
best?
Genius. It's really good. Have you read it?
Of course, yeah. All of Hox Pox.
It's amazing.
So, I thought it was just it was so much fun. I mean, I balked at a lot of the people that were saying that it was, when they're doing the best comics of the decade list and putting that in there as the Hickman representative. Like, no, I mean, it's good, but it's not that good.
But it is good, though.
It is. It's damn good. And
it's really good.
I think it gave the X titles, which had been meandering. I know you were keeping up with most of them, but it was it seemed every 6 months, they're like, oh, what about this new idea?
Yeah, exactly.
But all the goodwill that I have towards those incredible two miniseries was almost removed immediately when they spun out 7 new X books with plans to do solo titles for all the X characters. Like, I know it's Marvel. Marvel's going to Marvel. Yeah. But I loved the idea of us just getting a weekly X book written by one, have different artists, but imagine it having maybe co-writers to make it less of a burden on one writer or whatever. But the tonal shift when all those spin-off books came out was just too much for me. And there were so damn many of them. So instead of I'm now going to read every X book. I've now
You're still reading X-Men?
I'm reading
X-Men.
That's it. Yeah. But I've dropped every other one.
I am reading all of them
Okay, I'm going to find a pile of them and go through each of them. You can tell me. You can rate them.
Yeah, cool.
All right. So we've got...
I'm notoriously good at that.
So we'll do X-Men. Okay, well, you can give it a weird rating that means nothing, cool. If that makes you feel better.
Yes, please.
You can rate it out of liters of breast milk. what am I talking about? All right, let's start with the Hox, House of X and Pox, Powers of X.
Oh, 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10 liters of breast milk.
It was so good. You know what? I mean, I'm sure everyone has heard and there's been plenty of conversation about the series and I'm way too late. But it's just very clever how he managed to change everything without changing anything. Do you know what I mean?
Totally, that one subtle change to Moira and then...
changed the entire... I just love it. I think it's so smart. I think it's so engaging, so interesting. It makes the X-Men actually relevant again. It removes them from the rest of the Marvel Universe in a way that's really interesting, and now their interactions are really, like, hilarious and hostile, and I love that.
Yeah, I don't like that. Like, I thought they were really setting up the X-Men as, like, quite a powerful force to be reckoned with now, so I hate that they still have, like, different people targeting them. Like, I hated that first issue of X-Force.
I kind of assume it's all sort of weird internal Sebastian Shaw politicky bullshit, okay, a little bit, yeah, you know okay. what I mean?
Or if that's where they lead with it and I find out about that later, then I guess that was a good payoff. But at the end of the first issue of X-Force, Professor X gets shot in the head.
Yeah.
Assassinated. And I was just like, okay, I guess I better keep reading X-Force. And then I missed one issue and I was like, oh, they're like, don't worry, you don't need to read all of them. But then in
Hickman's X-Men, crossover.
They were like, oh, and... That, like, someone already tried to kill me. I was like, oh, so that wasn't actually... Okay, he didn't die. Okay, all right, fine. Like, so it is really frustrating to read these books that they're all referencing. We'll only read some of the book. I feel like I'm missing out on the bigger picture, but also that picture is too big for me to keep up with each week.
Yeah, I think that, like, I think this is the first time in a long time that I've been excited about comics having a shared universe. Like, I'm genuinely interested, and I like that each different series offers something different to a different kind of X-Men fan. I think there's kind of something for everyone. But I agree that I wish they weren't as interconnected, because every now and again I'm just very lost about what I'm doing.
So we have Hickman doing the writing work on X-Men with art by Lionel Francis Yu, who I think is doing some of the best work he's done in the last decade.
It's really good, nice.
I'm enjoying that.
I think Marauders is kind of lame, mostly because...
How many liters for X-Men?
X-Men. Oh, like 9 out of 10. Nine liters.
I guess we're cool.
Imagine being able to express 9 liters of X-Men. Imagine that's my dream. Everyone.
That's a fortnight.
Yeah. Feed my baby army.
The other one that Hickman started out writing, but now he was co-writing it with Ed Brisson.
Yeah.
Is New Mutants.
Yes.
Which started out in space and I was loving it.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, now we're gonna just kind of do a completely separate story, and it's about there's two characters from Grant Morrison's New X-Men,
Beacon Angel,
like catching up with them. They've been missing. And I was excited to see them, but like the story just felt so small scale and dull and stretched out over 3 issues, whereas Hickman packs so much into each of his really dense issues that...
Yeah.
And the artists was like Flaviano did one, did issue 3, and then someone called Fayala did issue 4, and then all the same story with different artists. I'm like, this is not what comics should be about. Like, that was what was made Hox Box so special, was you had the, you know, Hickman writing all 12 of the issues, and then you had the same artists on Hox, same artists on Pox. Mm-hmm. And this just feels like Marvel up to their old tricks.
Yeah, well, I mean, we can't expect too much from Marvel. We can't expect, like, anything actually good from Marvel.
I'm like genuinely, this is what broke me forever.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm really glad that you...
Broken forever.
I'm like genuinely like, I don't think I can do weekly comics anymore.
Yeah. No, I still love weekly comics. I think it will forever and ever be my favorite format of anything.
I think I get it too good from Shonen Jump.
Yeah.
So now I have my Shonen Jump app. I have my Shonen Jump $4 a month, which just seems far too cheap. But
it's insane.
Apparently it works. It's $3 a month. Even if you don't use the app, you should just pay them that anyway to make up for all the all the manga you've pirated over the years.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't ever, but...
You're very good. You rent legally from a library.
That's what I do.
But, you know, Marvel have their subscription service, but it's, you know, it's 6 months after all the new stuff. Honestly, I would pay like 15, 20 bucks a month to get the Marvel stuff new, but they know that they can make so much more. I mean, do they? Like, the printing costs? I don't know. I just wish...
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know why they...
flood the market with so many titles. And I mean, I know I just sound like every article on the internet right now, and I've taken pride in not being that dude for so long, and now I'm just like...
But it is exhausting, and it is exhausting. Like, we've seen so many indie companies go under in the last couple of years, and so many interesting titles and stuff like that just disappear because Marvel are like... Well, I think that everyone wants 6 Avengers titles. And that's really hard. Like, there are many, many, many comic book stores closing down around Australia and around the world. It's not a good time in the comics industry in a whole bunch of ways. It does still seem like there is some element to which the only reason that Marvel still even bother having comics is as a sort of content farm for the movies and TV shows that they're doing.
Yeah, but
because I can't imagine they make a huge amount of money, but they do still make some kind of money out of it.
They are in the charts, you know, constantly.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So New Mutants, did you keep up? Are you up to date
on
that one?
Yeah, I still like it. It's good.
You like it? How many liters?
I think it's because I'm still, I'm not really. I think if I was only that many others.
If I was only reading X-books, yeah, I'd probably be more forgiving of them. But that like I'm reading significantly less comics than I used to, but I let it stack up. We should say that at the moment, King's Comics doesn't even exist.
Well, kingscomics.com. Please still purchase from kingscomics.com.
But the store is reopening in March.
Approximately.
We haven't had it.
Stay posted.
It closed just under 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
All of our pull lists are in the nether realms until the store opens.
Just in a warehouse.
The nether realms. That's a store.
Yeah, it's a tricky time for all King's Comics, but holy moly, just wait till you see that new store. It's gonna be something special.
I can't wait to see that Hulk.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
Everyone's got a Batman. Everyone's got a Wonder Woman. Everyone's got a Deadpool.
Yeah, I'll say who's got a life-size Hulk.
No one's got a life-size Hulk.
Life-size Hulk.
Looking forward to that. X-Force is the book written by Benjamin Percy with art by what's Kassara's first name?
I don't know.
We'll never
Marcio?
Know. Joshua Kassara. Yeah. This is the book in which Professor X gets shot in the head at the end of the first issue, and I was excited about it because you have Quentin Quire in it, you have Wolverine, Betty Braddock, Psylocke has gone missing, someone? No, what's her name? Domino,
yeah. Psylocke's in, Betty Braddock.
Who knows?
What's her name? Captain Britain. She's in Excalibur. I like Excalibur quite a lot.
Yeah, that one's fun.
I think that one's good fun, like sort of all rogue.
I think a lot of these, stuff. Yeah. I think... What I think I need to do is just put a pin in it. I'll keep up with X-Men.
Yeah.
And just because I love reading Hickman. And then, like, once these are all collected or, like...
Smash them.
Or sit there on Marvel Unlimited 6 months from now, I'll smash up a whole bunch of them.
I think I'm enjoying them as a larger part of the, like, big project. I just am so still enjoying the way that Hickman has kind of reshaped the X-Men in the Marvel Universe kind of forgiving a lot of nonsense.
Yeah.
But I think that maybe the next wave of stuff will be really good. Like, there's a lot more... like, there's not that many women working on this.
Isn't the current wave a good one? Or is there's another wave coming?
There's another wave coming. Like, Leah Williams is going to be writing a series. Okay. And there's a couple other new ones that are coming, joining the X titles and stuff. But there's still some good shit in there.
There's Fallen
Angels. Angels is really silly. But, like, doesn't that Brian seem Hill. Like some... Goths are really going to get into that. I can think of specifically a couple of dudes that would like love that.
Do you got any goths in your life that you could ask?
I don't have enough goths in my life.
Hey, maybe Porky Pig will grow up to be one.
Maybe my little baby goth.
Stop playing Joy Division now. That's the bridge, the gateway. So also Marvel World. What's his name? Jason Aaron finally finished his Thor run.
I really dropped off the end of his Thor run. I have limited interest in Thor to begin with. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
like,
totally.
I really liked
you put in his... a good amount of run.
Yeah. I do love dropping off a series before it ends.
It ended really strongly with King Thor, which is like a 4-issue miniseries that tied into the gore, the God Butcher stuff from the beginning. And the final issue has like a great number of the artists who wrote various phases of Aaron's run. Over the last 8 years, showing up to do pages. It was a really, really satisfying end. Because I felt similar to you where I was just kind of like, do I really need to read this, Cap? You know, I'm almost done, on Thor for a long time. Because, I went on to read the new number one of Thor, which is written by...
Donny Cates.
And, like, it was fine. It was impressive that he's managed to tie it into the story he's telling with his characters in Marvel Universe. There's lots of crossover characters through other Marvel runs that he's been doing. I was kind of like, you know what? I'm good for Thor for a while.
Yeah.
Runaways, I used to be my favorite book, and they're kind of trying to be superheroes now, which should be way more appealing to me, but I guess I guess the art isn't as good as it used to be, and there's just something about it.
Chris Anka did a couple of issues, which were really good, and I like that they've at least got a consistent style still with
even the new artists coming through,
and I think that probably has a lot to do with the colouring. I like this current arc because it kind of reminds me of, like, Maxwell Lord kind of stuff, like the evil dude.
Yes, totally.
The clearly evil guy putting together a super team.
But we knew he was evil, like on the first page he showed up on, and it's been, like, 6 issues. I'm like, come on, just let him be evil already.
Yeah, we all know.
Instead, he fat-shamed someone.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not evil enough.
It's pretty evil, man.
I know, it is. Yeah. It's like, it's one step below, genocide.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Did you read that Christopher Cantwell Doctor Doom book?
Yeah, it's great.
It's pretty good, right?
It's really good. I like Christopher Cantwell a lot. I like what he has to say,
also,
generally.
But I was a little bit like, oh, man, first Professor X gets shot in the head at the end of issue. Then Doctor Doom got shot in the head in the end of one of the issues.
Yeah.
But that was a psych out. That pullback was more fun, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but that's been really satisfying and enjoyable. Like that a lot.
I'm trying to see what other...
Well, this is good. Immortal Hulk's still good.
I mean, yeah, Immortal Hulk's really good. I'm dropping Avengers.
Yeah, over Avengers.
Immortal Hulk is, yeah, a ton of fun still.
And Silver Surfer Black was great.
That ended really well. Beautiful art the whole way through. Naomi, tell me one thing that happened in the story, though.
Silver Surfer rode his surfboard.
Silver Surfer's black now, as you'll see him show
Galactus,
up in Thor.
Galactus came around or something.
Yeah. They put out a Kylo Ren book.
Oh, yeah.
Which is fine.
With his big old chest. I don't think I've seen the last two Star Wars movies.
I really liked Episode 8. I did not like Episode 9 because it, like, undid all of the good things I liked about Episode 8.
Yeah.
But, hey, it's a polarizing time in Star Wars land.
Yeah, I'll say. It's really just made me go, like, I don't want to watch any movies anymore. I'm done. I'm done with movies.
No movies? You should watch Uncut Gems, man. That's
yeah,
real good
I
fun.
Am really excited about that. We watched Parasite over the last three nights.
Oh, how good is Parasite?
It was great. It was really good.
I watched that on a plane, which is about the same level of, you know, cinema respect as watching over three nights.
Look, I get very sleepy.
Let's talk about manga before we go over to the
next
thing.
Yeah, sure.
From
cool.
Marvel to manga. We're alphabetically, perfect. We're going backwards. Marvel, manga. Yeah, we can do this. I can make this work.
So the main manga, I think the only manga that I've been reading, I think that's true. My friend lent me the first big omnibus volume of Gantz, which is one of the strangest things I think I've ever read. It's real odd. Do you know what the story is?
I've seen the name, Gantz.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that, like, has been a sort of peripheral thing in my world for so long because of just working at King's.
What's wrong, Porky Pig? You want 9 liters of breast milk? You could swim in it.
You're a very stinky boy. Is there poop? Oh, no. No, just stinky. He's just really stinky fart. He's a really stinky boy. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Don't even mean to shame you publicly on record. You're just like that guy in The Runaways right now.
But Gantz is really strange. Don't fart shame me. Gantz is like a bunch of people who have died or were about to die. Suddenly, like, they disappear and they wake up in this room and there's just this big ball called Gantz, and it has a screen on it, and it's like, you will have to kill this guy, and it's like an alien who looks like an onion, like Onion Head, go kill Onion Head. And all these people are like, what? And then they get these like sexy suits and these big guns, and they have to go, and they no one knows what's going on, and the main character is like this really obnoxious little kid guy who's like, oh yeah, I just want to get some fucking tits. And it's really like really bizarrely overtly sexual, and there's like quite a lot of sexual violence in it, but Whoa. It's really like in the way that there's in a lot of manga, and I'm not meaning to generalize, but quite offhand, do you know what I mean? It's a little bit like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna go rape this girl, give me a second. And then you just see like the pants coming down and she's like, oh no. It's real strange, man. But I really liked it.
So you've read the first volume?
Yeah, I've read the first big volume. I do recommend checking it out. I'm looking forward to grabbing the next one.
That is but a like, huge volume.
Yeah,
too.
Like and every Bible. Single, it is like the Bible, but what if the Bible had way more titties? Every single...
Same amount of rape, though.
Yeah. Well, I think the Bible probably has a little bit more. But every single like chapter title just has like a half-naked girl for some reason.
Right.
And one, like the first girl that shows up, she's just nude for no reason because she was committing suicide in the bath.
Right.
And everyone's like, oh, she's so sexy. I'm like, God, this is so strange. It's real strange. It's real psychological and weird. It's got a lot of confusing death stuff and but I like it.
So this is written
I wish
by
I could explain it better, but
Hiroya Oku and
I
it's
can't.
Published by Dark Horse in the Western world.
It's got some really strange mysteries in it as well because there's like a dude inside the Gantz ball, just like a naked sleeping guy in a ball.
That's
and they're
naked,
all like, who's that?
Too.
And they're like, don't look at him. Don't worry about the man in the ball.
He's there to make you feel better of all the naked women. There's one naked man in a ball sometimes.
Can't see his willy, though, which is always a disappointment.
Come on, manga.
So what have you been reading manga-wise?
So I finished 20th and 21st Century Boys.
Oh, I've never read 21st Century Boys.
So it's, oh,
I also didn't
that's
finish.
The end of the story.
I know. I also didn't get the last volume of 20th Century Boys. So I've just let
not?
That mystery just like sit
that's
for
weird.
Ages.
You're
yeah,
weird.
I know. I'm probably going to, once they finished releasing the...
Perfect Editions.
Yeah, I'll just borrow the last one and read that.
Which if,
is it
yeah,
great?
It's so good.
Yeah.
If you I think King's Stock are the perfect editions.
Yeah.
And
I
also
do recommend them. They're gorgeous looking.
You can get them through the Madman website as well, which is where I've been copping them. It's just so good.
Yeah, man. He's like so clever, and it's such an interesting story with so many layers and so many like, yeah, so clever.
So yeah, I really want to go in on everything else that guy's written.
Yeah, man.
I know you're a massive fan. Yeah. What are your favorites?
Master Keaton is probably my favorite at the moment of like what is published in English. Monster's really, really great, but I haven't been able to revisit it because it's too scary.
Oh, fun.
And Pluto's amazing, but Master Keaton is my favorite at the moment.
Okay, cool.
I've been getting really into Junji Ito. Do you know the
yeah,
horror dude?
Yeah, Angus gave me his most recent novel.
I haven't read that one because I thought it was a novel, and I was like, I don't like words.
No,
like
so it's an adaptation of a novel.
Yeah. But I read
too
his.
I don't like words.
I read his Frankenstein recently, and it's easily the most horrifying version of Frankenstein I've ever read.
Oh, fun.
It's brilliant.
Cool.
So good. And then I also picked up Dissolving Classroom.
Yep, I got a few of those.
No, Disappearing Classroom? Hang on. Wait, one second. I'm just going to get it off the shelf so I can remember.
Dissolving Classroom. It's Dissolving Classroom.
But not the one by him.
Oh, okay, right. Siobhan's making her way over to her library.
Here we go.
Oh, man, that's way bigger than the one I got.
Yeah, this is different.
Let's find out what it's called in 3, 2, 1.
It's called Drifting Classroom.
The Drifting Classroom.
So it's by Kazuo Umez, and it's supposedly what influenced a lot of Ito's early
work. Right,
cool. Especially.
How'd you find out about this?
We just got, I read about it and then we got it in at King's. They've just done a new version. And
who published this one? Looks great.
It was a special.
Again,
a
another
special,
one looks like a Bible.
Special present
so
to
this
me.
Is, yeah, Viz put this one through.
But that's really fun as well. That's really interesting.
Out of nowhere, an entire school vanishes, leaving nothing but a hole in the ground. While parents mourn and authorities investigate, the students and teachers find themselves not dead, but stranded in a terrifying wasteland where they must fight to survive.
Great.
Very, very good.
Very synopsis. Enjoyable. So that's the kind of manga vibe that I've been on.
Horrific.
Spooky, spooky
horrific
shit
things
only.
Happening to teens.
Yeah, it's my favorite genre. I hate teens.
So I as soon as I finished 20th Century Boys, I actually went to Japan.
Oh, yeah. Did you have a nice time?
I had a great time, and then I came home and bought tickets for my entire family. We're going back in April.
Oh, cute.
You'll be at a traveling stage soon.
No way.
Just a few years.
Never.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. But on the way over, because there was an Akira exhibition.
Cool.
Including like original artwork from the original writing, like it's original art from the first that initial Akira run. Obviously, I'd seen the movie growing up. Mm-hmm. I rewatched that again on the plane, then started reading the manga. Have you read all of Akira?
No. So, you know, I bought like the volumes a couple of like months and months ago, and then before I got a chance to read it, I lent the first one to my friend. She hasn't given it back.
Oh, god damn it.
So I'm just like waiting for her to be done with it so I can read it. But it looks great. I've heard it's incredible.
It's out of control how good it is. And it's especially like as a you've seen the movie, no doubt.
No, I haven't even seen the movie. Isn't that silly? I thought I'd read the manga first.
The movie is like probably the, you know, the best. I mean, obviously you've got, you know, Blade Runner or whatever, but I think it's my favorite cyberpunk piece of media.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's actually the whole thing is just even though it was, you know, same creator who worked on the manga and the anime, it's almost like a preview for the manga because the manga goes on for so much longer than you see.
Yeah.
Like The movie only covers like the first 1.5 volumes of the manga.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it just goes on into it's insane. It's so beautifully drawn. A guy loves drawing destruction so much, and seeing those original pages at the exhibition were wonderful.
Yeah.
So that was really fun. And then straight from that, I just rented from my library, Parramatta Library, Battle Angel Alita.
Ah, cool.
Have you ever read that?
Nah.
Yeah.
But aesthetically,
you
great.
Know who the artwork reminds me of is Sam Keith, who did like the
Max. Yeah.
It's like real wonky. It's like not like the kind of, you know, beautiful, sharp, you know, imagery you associate with manga at all.
Yeah. I'm
but
into it.
It's really, really good. And then I'm also reading for the first time. I'm just doing all the classics. I'm reading Dragon Ball.
Oh, cool.
Have you read the beginning of Dragon Ball?
Yeah. That's my kind of like, I'm really not, I don't know as much about like Dragon Ball and stuff as most comic
most
book people.
Teens.
Most teens, most boys. But I really like the early Dragon Ball stuff when the art's really cutesy.
It's so cutesy.
I love it.
Yeah, it's such a goofy romp. Like,
yeah, I got
it's so horny.
Yeah.
Every character except Goku is like horny as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Goku's just like naked with his little willy out the entire time. It's great. Porky Pig, big fan of Dragon Ball. But yeah, so I guess my plan is to kind of get through as much of that as possible.
Yeah, fun. That's a fun project.
Because I never watched Dragon Ball Z as a kid either. No, like, it always just seemed so noisy, so I never watched it. So that's it for manga at the moment. I'm still keeping up. Cool. Demon Slayer and One Piece. Oh man, I did so much One Piece stuff when I was in Japan because I realized I'd be coming back with my family, and I was like, you know what? Out of respect to Bianca, I will do all the annoying things that she won't want to do. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's very nice of you.
We're still staying 2 nights at Disneyland when we're there as a family. I better imagine me doing that on my own. Yeah, I'll just drop a lot of money to stay at the Disneyland hotel by myself.
I can't imagine that.
I was like, oh, I should have done that. But I did like One Piece Tokyo Tower, which is like this crazy fun park inside Tokyo Tower, all dedicated to One Piece.
Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy how big it is over there.
Did you go to the Ghibli Museum?
That's what I'm doing with the kids. Cool. We have tickets. And all the Ghibli movies are on Netflix now.
Yeah.
And I watched Kiki's Delivery Service with the English dub, the Disney dub.
Uh-huh.
Have you watched any of that before?
No.
Do you know who's the voice of Gigi the cat?
No.
Yeah, it's Phil Hartman.
Who?
Phil Hartman? Do you know who Phil Hartman is? Phil Hartman, the voice of Troy McClure.
Brilliant.
News
Radio, so
SNL, like, the other dad in Jingle All the Way. Oh, great. No, it's Sinbad.
I've never seen that.
Phil Hartman fucks Arnold Schwarzenegger's wife in Jingle All the Way?
What?
I don't know. I haven't seen that in a while either. Maybe that doesn't happen. Maybe I invented it. But anyway, Phil Hartman.
Yeah, cool.
Just crazy. I'm trying to force as many Disney and Ghibli movies on the kids as possible before we go to Japan in April, which is a fun time.
Nice.
But this isn't about movies, Siobhan. Sorry. We're talking about comic books. And I guess in this weird alphabetical way, Image is next.
Cool. I feel like I'm not reading like any Image books at the moment.
Gideon Falls, still the best.
Still fucking bomb, man.
And leaning heavier and heavier into like, you know, mystery horror.
Yeah.
Has been a great time.
And just the way that they've expanded the universe is so surprising and cool.
Yeah, totally.
I didn't see that coming at all.
Lemire has just... like tripled his output of comics.
It's bonkers.
Is he okay?
Yeah, I don't know. Is anyone checking on him?
I read a graphic novel that he wrote called like Frog Stomper
or something. Yeah, was it good?
Frog Catcher. Yeah, it's fun. It's like fun.
Like,
yeah, not fun. It's like, miserable.
It's a classic Lemire bummer.
Yeah, but yeah. It was a short read.
Yeah, yeah.
So that qualifies it as fun. When you read nothing but like long chapters of, long, you know, never-ending chapters of manga runs. I read the new Matt Fraction graphic novel.
Was it good?
Art by Elsa Charretier, November, Volume 1, The Girl on the Roof. There's going to be 3 of these. And it's about a girl who is kind of...
God, she's good.
Yeah, it's a great pairing.
Mm. He knows how to pick a collaborator.
Definitely. Is Sex Criminals wrapping up?
I think it's the last arc.
They just put out their most recent issue.
I've got a new issue sitting on my shelf, which I have not read yet.
Mine's somewhere in the Netherrealm.
Yeah.
Jim's Netherrealm. Yeah. it's about a girl who is kind of like paid by like a, you know, almost like an assassin to... Her job is just to keep a low profile and push a button every day.
Mm.
It's about her. Like, she's like a kind of eternal fuck up.
Cool.
It's told like from lots of different narrative standpoints. It's a crime series, mm-hmm. but it's Matt Fraction at his weirdest since Casanova. Was it called Casanova? Mm-hmm. Was it called Casanova?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a great series.
I mean, that
series.
Is a series that he did.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was called like something Casanova. Maybe the character's name was something Casanova. But yeah, it's him channeling those very abstract, weird. Mm. Humorous, dark vibes. It's a great read. Greg Rucka brought the Old Guard back.
Yeah, I picked up the 2 issues, but I haven't gotten stuck into them yet. It's like the Rucka book that I enjoyed the most recently.
Yeah, with awesome art by Leandro Fernandez.
Same guy.
Yeah, and this is actually being turned into a movie. Netflix are putting it out this year.
Super duper.
With Charlize Theron as the Middle Eastern character. So make of that what you will.
Good. Okay.
These are about the superhero, the immortal assassins, basically. The new tale was very satisfying.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout.
36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Okay, so we talked about Hickman's X-Men earlier, but he also finished one of his great series. It's finally done, his series with Nick Dragota, and who's the colorist in this one? Frank Martin, East of West.
Great.
An incredible war of the world is divvied up into all these great powers, and they're all at war with each other, and it's the return of the Horsemen of the Apocalypse, and they're all fighting with each other as well.
Dragota is like a real beast.
Yeah, like, I mean, he really, really leans into, like, you know, some heavily cartoonish faces that you wouldn't see in an otherwise quite, you know,
serious
and gritty, like, you know, war comic like this. But God, it's such an amazingly satisfying ending. So funny the whole way throughout. And this is probably my favorite thing Hickman's ever done.
Oh, yeah?
Wow. And, yeah.
Really? Above, like, his Fantastic Four run and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, because it's his own characters.
True.
And it doesn't come with the baggage or like, you know, it doesn't come with, like, those characters being immediately worse written by someone else, you know, and, like, you know, you then associate, like, you know, there's no tarnishment.
Yeah.
No one else writes about war and famine and pestilence and the other one, death. The death?
I don't know. I've never really read it.
No, as in, like, who are the four horsemen? Of the place? You should know just because of X-Men.
Yeah, I really should, huh? Pestilence, death? No, I don't know.
Famine, pestilence, war.
And...
is it death? I guess
it's
death.
Is it sickness? Is that pestilence? Fuck, I don't know, man. Whatever.
The internet. It's the internet. It's the internet.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
I hear that.
So that was amazingly good. Lemire, seriously, so many books. He put out Ascender is really, really strong. His sequel with Dustin Nguyen to Descender. It's all about magic, and it's a lot of fun.
Great.
But he also started a new one with Phil Hester on art called Family Tree, about a girl who's turning into a tree.
Great.
And that runs in the family of people turning into trees, and there's like
that's
special
good.
Cops that are sent after people that turn into trees. What a weird concept, but it's fun.
It's
fun in the same way that Frogcatcher was not fun.
Yes.
But, you know, it's Lemire.
Yeah.
Manifest Destiny by Chris Dingus and Matthew Roberts and Owen Gianni. It's all about Lewis and Clark's expedition from one side of America to the other.
Nice.
Except there are monsters this time. And at the moment, all of these, you know, convicts and settlers and criminals who are joining them get... we have, like, sirens, except the sirens are not your typical fish ladies. These are wild rabbit women.
Yes, please.
Who lure them in to fuck them and then eat them.
That's pretty funny.
And I've been, like, you know, semi-lamenting that there haven't been as many monsters as there used to be in recent issues of this, and that delivered in a way that I was not expecting. So, yeah, getting fucked to death by a rabbit woman.
What a way to go!
Speaking of trees, Warren Ellis wrote a second volume of his weird book, Trees, with Jason Howard, a murder mystery set in, like, Russia. Trees are these big alien, like, poles that appear all over the world.
I couldn't get my head around it.
I mean, it was a really, really good miniseries. Yeah. I don't know if it's... I don't think I gained anything having read all of the original Trees run. But he just writes weird stories, and this is a very good one. I thought this is fairly easy to understand for a weird Warren Ellis book.
I didn't even bother picking this one up because the original Trees, I was like, I don't know, this is
much more grounded than the original Trees. I enjoyed it.
Cool.
It was five issues and done.
Lovely.
Ice Cream Man remains one of the best on the stands.
Excellent.
So too does Criminal, which apparently ended. for all, they're taking a hiatus. Issue 12 just came out, wrapped up the storyline, and apparently that's it for a while. I might have it wrong. I saw that. I haven't read issue 12 yet.
I haven't read it either.
I've not read the finale. The
Excited,
final.
Though.
Yeah. It's been so strong. Ed Brubaker, yeah. Sean Phillips, and Sean's son on colors.
Jacob Phillips.
Just doing great stuff. I mean, it's always my favorite comic.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always the best comic every time it comes out.
And then Dead Eyes, which is the Jerry Duggan book that was originally called Rabbit Eyes.
Was it originally called Dead Rabbit? I don't know.
Dead Rabbit? Yeah. Whatever. No, I think it was called Rabbit Eyes because he has X's on his eyes. Mm. It was Dead Rabbit. But yeah. he had to basically bring it, like rename it something.
Mm.
So it's come back as Dead Eyes. And so they re-released the first two issues. And now we are getting new issues to the story.
Great.
That I first read, you know, over a year ago.
I liked and it. Fun concept.
Yeah, it's good. It's fun. Yeah. Deadly Class, I dropped finally.
Nice.
No more mopiness from you, Rick Remender. Get over it. Life's hard sometimes, especially for teens. I get it.
Absolutely.
That might be it for Image.
Yeah, you know, Image have really, like, chilled out on putting out new series and, like, because most of their sort of flagship titles have ended or are on hiatus. It's, like, an interesting time at Image.
There's
not that much coming out, which is kind of refreshing.
They could just continue as a business that just re-released The Walking Dead trades.
I'm pretty sure that's how they make their money.
Yeah, totally.
That and Saga.
I guess if you go backwards from Marvel, Manga, Image, DC, and then we're going to do other publishers.
Yeah, nice.
We got the finale to a book that started many, many years ago, Batman Creature of the Night, the spiritual sequel to Superman's Secret Identity, written by Kurt Busiek. And this has art by John Paul Leon. This is about a man whose name is Bruce Wainwright, who starts manifesting a Batman of his own.
Yeah.
It was very strange.
Very strange, but gorgeous.
Gorgeous and a pretty satisfying ending.
Yeah.
I definitely, the long gap between issue 3 and 4 did not help the narrative at all. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. He actually manifests a living Batman who like does crimes.
I mean, good fun.
Another DC series that finally ended, Doomsday Clock.
I had a big like, Nate, you didn't pick up Doomsday Clock for me when you went to the comic book store and got all cross in it. And then I picked it up and just never read it.
Dude, this was like, I'm sure there are fans. It was just so nothing.
Yeah.
Especially when it came out, the final issue came out the week of the final episode of the Watchmen TV series.
Which I've heard is excellent.
It was very good, yeah. And this just like, it just completely ripped all the glory from Doomsday Clock. Like, I mean, it's so baffling that DC didn't go like, oh, there's a TV series starting. We better try and hurry this comic book along before it overshadows this comic book. And I don't know.
I think by this point, no one really cared about Doomsday Clock that much.
Geoff Johns used to be such a good writer. And
I
refuse to believe that he's incapable of writing a really good and powerful, you know, superhero story these days.
It's just always the same shit, right? Like he started off writing sort of characters of his own or smaller books that no one else wanted anything to do with, and then they give him the entire universe and then that's all on his shoulders, and then they give him his the most prestigious titles he could do, and he's just not that kind of writer.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sad because you're not seeing him at his best, I think.
Totally. Like, but the thing that's cool, putting on Flash or something, you know? Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I went back and reread The Actual Watchmen. It's really good. It's really good, guys.
You're on a podcast about it.
Yeah, you can look it up. It's called Big Squid. I did 2 episodes, I think.
Nice.
2-3 episodes.
Like, yeah, that. You did more episodes of that than you did of Serious Issues in the last 4 months.
Sorry, guys.
Wait, we understand. You have a family now.
Yeah.
A family who don't sleep.
Family who don't sleep. Oh, no naps.
A family of Looney Tunes.
Yeah,
but yeah, I Doomsday Clock, I ended and I was like, oh, thank God that's over. Like, yeah. I finished that final issue and it felt like I'd read 50 comics.
Yeah, I just hope this means that Gary Frank can do some other pictures.
Yeah, totally. Suicide Squad returns with a new creative team.
Yeah, okay, I feel really, like, I just haven't been on top of single issues, and I'm really annoyed at myself because I know I'm going to enjoy this. I think I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah, you will.
I think
like
Tom Taylor is the exact right person to relaunch the Suicide Squad.
Tom Taylor is writing Suicide Squad right now.
Fun.
And you have
one of
his
people.
Frequent...
it's full of Australians.
Yeah, totally. You have him doing... Oh, sorry, what is it? It doesn't say the artist's name. What's his name? Someone Redondo?
Bruno Redondo,
who wrote a lot of his...
Injustice?
Injustice
Run? With him.
That's right. Yeah. I was going to say infamous. I couldn't remember which N-word. Suicide Squad is like a whole bunch of new like random heroes have been introduced to it. There's a whole ton of death in the first issue, like real comical stuff.
Right?
You want King Shark biting someone's
head
off?
Yeah,
excellent
absolutely.
Stuff. there's a new person in charge of the Suicide Squad. Amanda Waller mysteriously is just passing them over to someone new. Cool. And yeah, it looks great. Like, just that map is that picture. All these new characters are just introduced really well. Tom Taylor's great at inventing superhero powers, showing off how they're used immediately, and then, like, you know, then you just get the story. He's very, very good at beginning an arc. I'm enjoying where this is so far. It's fun.
Yeah,
and Suicide Squad books should be fun with a little bit of political intrigue.
And Tom Taylor knows how to have fun.
So DC are really going hard on this Black Label imprint they have.
Yeah.
Lemire's writing a lot.
Not as many dicks as we'd assumed. No, totally.
Well, there's no Robin book, and also no one gets the dick out.
Yeah, absolutely.
I
want a Robin book where he gets his dick out.
Lemire and Sorrentino and Jordi Belair are doing a book called Joker Killer Smile, which is the first Lemire book in a long time that I'm not reading the second issue of.
I don't have any interest in that one, to be honest. However, the Question book.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
So Jeff Lemire is writing a Question book with art by Dennis Cowan, Bill Sienkiewicz, and Chris Sotomayor.
Very classic feeling. Very, like, 90s.
The Question, The Deaths of Vic Sage. So it doesn't reference Renee Montoya at all.
Nope.
It is just a classic feeling. It feels like ripped out of the 80s.
Yeah.
Even with the kind of, you know, the new different printing, the way these are done. It's really grim.
It's really intriguing.
And Vic Sage kind of sucks. Like, he's not a good character, really. Not a good guy, I mean. Yeah. It's good. It's fun reading such a murky book.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I find it really interesting. It's like, it's definitely the Black Label title that I'm enjoying the most. The others, except for this. This
I was going to say,
this
I'm also really enjoying Wonder Woman Dead Earth by Daniel Warren Johnson, who previously gave us the very good.
It was that series that was like really violent. Avatar: The Last Airbender. I can't think of what it was called.
And that guy got his brother got his arm chopped off.
Yeah, and then he did that one that was about metal music.
Didn't like that one as much.
No, me neither.
Something Bird, Something Evil. I should just look it up. But yeah, Daniel Warren Johnson is writing a Wonder Woman book in which many years in the future, it's like post-apocalyptic Earth. There's all these awful monsters, and a kid is like running away from a monster and falls and breaks open a cryogenic chamber, and out pops Diana, Wonder Woman, and she's
looking great.
Yeah, underpowered, and she realizes that she's in like what used to be the Batcave. Bruce is dead Bruce's dead skeleton body is upstairs, and this is about her becoming Wonder Woman once more, and having everyone retreat to Themyscira to save themselves from these monsters.
Great,
so much fun,
super enjoyable.
What the hell was Daniel? It was called Extremity.
There you go.
That was a good book.
That was a good book.
And this is too. Wonder Woman, Dead Earth.
He's a good comic guy.
Oh, God. Event Leviathan finished by Bendis and Maliv. And that's it. I'm never reading another Bendis comic again.
Possibly more annoying to have him be playing around with things and like just dangling things that I love so much in front of me and then like doing
Hey, remember when Greg Rucka used to write these characters? I'm going to do a way worse job. But the first issue will be pretty okay.
Pretty good.
And you'll be like, oh, where's he going this time?
I'm a Bendis fan again. Fan this time. Always. Not worth it. But I am into I think DC are trying to do a couple of interesting things, you know? Like, they're really focusing on their YA lines.
Yeah, which
is
cool.
There's a couple of different interesting titles. Even this Black Label stuff is like, it's at least offering something different. I'm a bit more into what they're doing at the moment than what Marvel's doing.
And like, yeah, saying, hey, this is going to be 4 issues. This is going to be 6 issues. Yeah, whereas Marvel are like, this could go on for 30 issues or...
Renumbered.
Three.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Exactly, yeah. Event Leviathan, like Brian Bendis and the aforementioned Geoff Johns, the two comic book writers, no other two writers know how to have a cool idea, a strong first issue, and then have me like not care about it. It's impossible for me to care about a comic book less by the final issue than those two. And it's so funny they're both writing for DC now. Like, they should offload Geoff Johns to Marvel.
No, they should team up. Remember the Marvel book that Geoff Johns did with the horrible Ant-Man sex scene?
Give me more of that.
Yeah, that's what I want. I have picked up the first couple of issues of the Legion title that Bendis is writing.
Right.
And it's kind of almost works.
I think I like Bendis now.
Yeah, I think I'm a Bendis fan. It kind of almost works. Like, his overwritten style kind of works for the Legion because there's like so many characters and they're all so annoying.
Yeah, that sounds like a fucking nightmare. I got no love for the Legion of Superheroes.
They're so terrible. I am really enjoying Far Sector.
Yeah, Far Sector really is a weird, cool Green Lantern book written by N.K. Jemisin with art by Jamal Campbell. And I really liked it too. It's really leaning into like hard sci-fi.
And also like a proper sort of crime detective kind of story.
Totally.
And I like that it's like completely separate from the DC universe. It has nothing to do with anything else except that she's a Green Lantern. And I think that's great and it works. And I think that DC are doing a great job of poaching novelists.
Yes, totally.
And YA people. But also the main Green Lantern series is still great. Black Stars is really good fun.
Oh, damn.
According to no one else except me, I think. I'm really enjoying it, though.
Are you reading Superman Smashes the Clan?
No. Okay, I picked this up the other day, and I was like, oh, I wonder if this would be good for my son, because he does, like, we read comics together and stuff, but I think it's maybe a little bit
And you're like, oh, damn it, my son's racist. He won't like this at all.
He loves the Clan.
So this is a Jean Luen Yang and Guru Hiru. They are...
Good get, Guru Hiru.
Yeah, definitely. And they are basically retelling an old radio, Superman radio play. Fun. That's its origins, about Superman taking on the Ku Klux Klan.
Great.
And you're introduced to like a recently migrated Chinese family in America. Superman like basically coming to their aid when they get targeted by the Klan. It has a great essay in the back by Jean Luen Yang about what Superman means to him as a Chinese American. It's published in this like the perfect size for a colorful Guru Hiru comic. It's like, I don't know. It looks like it's
kind of like a digest size almost.
Yeah, and there's three of them. Yeah, so you can either collect all three of them or wait for them all to be collected in a nice big trade. It's great. These are the kind of books that I wish Marvel would do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you know, giving us one of these series instead of trying to give a smaller character.
Yeah.
You know, a long run.
They've re-released a couple of like they did a recently a Squirrel Girl and a Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur in the same kind of format
for like YA audience. Or yeah, cool.
Just collecting some of the Ryan North stuff and the original Moon Girl stuff, but yeah, I think that DC are making a huge effort with their YA stuff in a way that I think is really working for them.
Awesome.
It's really smart.
Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen by Matt Fraction and Steve Lieber. I love it. It takes a while for me to get into each issue because I forget what happened in the last one.
Yeah, but that seems intentional, right?
Yeah, sure. It'll read so well in trade, and I feel like I'm doing the book a disservice by reading it month to month.
See, I think it is in its perfect format in the single issue.
Okay, cool.
Part of what it is as a whole, like the medium is the message on some level, and they're doing something really funny with like the single issue format and how they like reintroduce every page with like a different weird caption, and like it's very Silver Agey kind of
definitely.
Bullshit.
Well, Matt Fraction is so good at writing that kind
it's
of.
It's so funny,
yeah,
man.
Humor, yeah,
it really makes me laugh. I don't know anyone else who is enjoying it as much as I am, but I think it's really clever, and I think that the way that they've built up the Olsen family and stuff is really hilarious. And
yeah, totally. And
Luther's
tied.
Steve Lieber's brilliant.
Yeah, Lieber's doing great work.
Yeah.
And then another very nice surprise is that for out of the Sandman universe, we have Simon Spurrier now writing Hellblazer.
Yeah.
And it is great.
Oh, is it?
It's
oh, awesome.
So good.
Good.
It is everything a Hellblazer book
I'm
should
so
be.
Glad.
And you have great art by Marcio Takara and Chris
brilliant.
Peter. And
He seems like a good fit. He loves like some magic-y bullshit, but he's also actually British, so it won't come across.
And
as
this book is British as hell, and
great.
It's like, you know, there's Brexit jokes and and like just it's.
Oh, I actually want to pick that up.
You definitely should. There's like
that
maybe
looks fun. He can smoke. Great.
There's four or five issues in now. It's excellent. I love
great.
It.
Check it out.
Very very nice surprise. So that is it for DC. Let's talk about one of my favorite comic books of last year. And that is Grant Morrison and Dan Mora. Every Christmas, they give us another chapter of the Claus, the Santa Claus saga. They rewrote Claus's origin many years ago with a miniseries
now.
Called
Deal
Claus. And this time we got Claus and the Life and Times of Joe Christmas. Did you read this?
I can't remember now. I think
so
I did.
This
I
is,
reckon I did.
No,
I don't think I did.
It's this gorgeous oversized comic, and it's a calendar. It is every day of December.
That's so fun.
And so we start in 2001, and then we go back all the way to 1930, when Santa Claus discovers the body. At the foot of a church. The final, I'll tell you, on the December 25th in 1930, he finds a basket, and on it says, "Please take care of him." And so this is the story of Santa Claus's adopted son, Joe Christmas. There's no words. you just get a glimpse at their lives. And like a lot of them are like, yeah, referencing like fun classic, you know, comic book covers. There's an amazing X-Men one and a Batman one as well. It gets crazy. It gets sad. It is the antithesis of what Grant Morrison is doing in some of the very overwritten nonsense.
Oh, yeah.
Grant, I know you love it.
I love it.
I need to be in the right mood for it, or I hate it like nothing else in the world. Sure. But there's, yeah, like Grant Morrison putting his mind to a wordless comic is just a dream scenario to me.
Absolutely.
And this movie, it made me tear up.
Yep.
It was beautiful. This will be like the book, a comic I read every Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. I love Grant Morrison. And I love Dan Mora.
Yeah, me too. I assume at some point they'll collect all of these Christmas one-shots they've been giving us.
I reckon. They have put out a couple of hardcovers now.
But this one, I this is just perfect as a single issue.
Yeah. You'd so want to keep that one, man.
So good. So Boom last year put out a mini-series, 4 issues by Jeff Loveness and Lisandro Estherin, called Strange Skies Over East Berlin.
Ooh.
Which...
This looks cool.
Man, really weird sci-fi comic set as, you know, like during the Berlin War years. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sorry, the Berlin Wall years. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They're pretty similar.
Yeah.
It was all about basically two very different figures on either side of the wall who both used corruption to get where they basically use the wall as a springboard to have themselves succeed in their own careers. What happens when an alien invades and takes over their lives?
Man, I was more into it before it was before aliens got involved. I was like, ooh, just a story of corruption in...
It does, though. You'll be really satisfied because it's not like Oogie Boogie Aliens. It is they just take over their people's minds.
Right, cool.
And it's like an alien virus more so than an alien.
Okay.
Really, really great book.
Well, that sounds
Jeff
fun.
Lovins is such an underrated comic book writer.
Yeah.
Everything I've read about from him, I've really enjoyed.
The Judas story?
Judas, so good.
Brilliant. Totally brilliant.
That excellent Nova run he did a few years ago.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, me too. He's excellent.
He is really good.
Terry Moore's 5 years.
Great.
Second favorite comic after Criminal.
Continues to be excellent.
Just and so satisfying having read everything else Terry Moore has done up to now.
But even if you haven't, I still reckon you can get a lot out of it.
There's 5 years until the Earth is over because of a weird old... scroll which contains a code that can be turned into
written by Cleopatra.
The most deadly war machine ever. And it's up to all of the characters introduced in Terry Moore's many comics to save the day.
Yeah, just a bunch of really busty women.
Yeah, and there's amazing cliffhangers at the end of each issue. His artwork is gorgeous. He just obviously yes, he does have a fascination with writing beautiful women, but he writes them well.
Yeah, like, exactly. It's not like they're just, you know, tits. They're also brains and personalities.
Yeah. It's an excellent, excellent book.
Yeah. I love it, man.
I love that cover, too, of the birds discovering a corpse in the snow.
And he's just so, like, I have so much respect for Terry Moore just relentlessly doing what he wants to do. Do you know what I mean? Like, he has his own personal vision of the kind of comics that he wants to make, and he has stuck to that throughout his entire career, and he owns all of his own stuff. I just think he's brilliant.
Jeff Lemire, again, he wrote a new book in the Black Hammer universe called Skull Digger and Skeleton Boy.
I really didn't know that.
This is What If the Punisher Was Batman and Had a Robin Who Was a Mini Punisher.
Oh, that sounds really fun.
It's really fun.
How did I miss that?
Great art by Tonchi Zonjic. Jim said it was like the fastest Jeff Lemire book to sell out in the King's history.
There you go.
These Savage Shores by Ram V, Kumar, Astone, and Bidikar. An amazing vampire story set between England and India. In the 1800s. Really, really great. You would love this. When the trade comes out, absolutely
pick
it up.
I will pick that up when it's out in trade because it looks great. And I love a good colonialism story.
Yep. We're almost done here, Porky Pig.
Sorry, Sausage.
No One Left to Fight by Audrey Citizen and Ficho Osio and Taylor Esposito. A really fun kind of like take on like a Dragon Ball fighting comic, except what happens when those characters grow up and they're bored.
Great.
But their enemies aren't bored. It kind of just ended really abruptly, and I don't know if there's going to be any more of it, but I enjoy the 6 issues or whatever there were so far.
Cool.
Lock and Key did a one shot, another great one shot a la Claws, also published by IDW.
Are they doing more? Or is there a TV show?
A TV show is about to start on Netflix.
That looks fun. That's some fun panel layouts.
Gabriel Rodriguez is just, he's the reason I like this series so much. And, it's a shame that he isn't like a superstar now.
Mm.
But yeah, this was a really, really great one shot featuring like the continuation of the Locke family story that I didn't think we would ever get. And there's also like, yeah, another great little funny kind of strip about a key that turns you into a dog.
Great.
That I thought was quite fun.
Hilarious.
Osagi Yojimbo is the best.
Yep.
It's so good getting color issues of that every
I've been reading because they've also started re-releasing the original comics in color, like recolored. So I've been reading the new comics and also the recolored original ones.
Yeah.
And they're so good.
Good stuff. And then also Matt Kent put out a book at the end of last year called Folk Lords.
Yeah,
with
I like this one.
Art by Matt Smith and Chris O'Halloran, which is like a fantasy comic that I actually like.
Yeah, it's really good fun.
The
it's
art
really
is
well
so good too. And yeah, I've only read the first issue. I don't even know if a second issue has come out yet.
Yeah, actually three.
I've missed them all. Oh, well. Probably because when I see the words folk and lords together in my tool list, I'm like, I'm not getting that.
That sounds like
fantasy.
That sounds lame. That's for chumps.
Finally, from Dark Horse, the latest chapter, volume of Adam Warren's Empowered. Do you keep up with this at all?
Nah. I feel like it's something that I will smash at some point in my life, and every now and again I pick up a volume or two, and I'm like, well, that was such good fun.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember last time I talked about volume 10, I was like, it feels like when it first started, it was just like kind of comic strip humor.
Yeah.
Like, and just kind of
just reasons to get her nude.
Yeah, totally. And like, you know, so Empowered is a superhero who has like a symbiote kind of suit.
Mm-hmm.
Every time she takes damage, the suit like becomes less of a suit. So you can see the suit takes damage and you can see more and more of her skin. And it started out as like a parody of manga and superhero comics,
pin-up-y bondage-y stuff.
Yeah,
then he gave her a personality.
Yeah, then he had to go and make her an actual character. and so this was very, very plot heavy, and dealing with a death in the series a few volumes ago, and her brother returning, and was really, really good.
Again, just someone who has relentlessly done his own thing.
Apparently, Adam Warren, did I read right? He did like, you know, they're doing like Marvel The End again, a bunch of one shots.
Oh, yeah.
He did the Venom one.
Oh, I have no idea.
I really want to go check it out. I love Adam Warren, so I got to check it out.
He's great.
Yeah, and Empowered 11, also great.
Cool.
Hey, everyone, that's the end of this episode.
Wait, hang on. I have two things I just wanted to mention very quickly.
But your children might catch fire while you're
watching. They might, but it's worth it. So this is one that I picked up at like a proper bookshop. It's published by IDW. Just wanted to mention because I didn't see it mentioned like almost anywhere, and it's really fucking good.
It looks like I thought this is just like something from the 70s that you picked up. Looks very, very.
So it's by Thierry Smolderen. Do you remember he did that series that we really liked that was really
Ghost Money?
Ghost Money.
What
there
the
we go.
Fuck?
Yeah. Okay. Great.
That incredible European comic that was just really, really satisfying. Very good.
So this is him doing like a super cool 60s like. Super gorgeous. I'm trying to think of what it reminds me of. It kind of reminds me of Talented Mr. Ripley kind of vibes.
I was going to say Johnny Bravo.
Yeah.
One of the characters,
has some serious Johnny Bravo. But it's like this cool like murder mystery about this guy and his dad and finding out that his dad was a spy for his whole life and his dad just disappeared when he was a kid.
My God, how good is that artwork?
It's fucking brilliant, man. I absolutely loved it. I think it's like one of the best things that I've read recently. I think it was really genius.
I still is.
Yeah, please. I highly recommend. And I highly recommend tracking it down. Diabolical Summer is what it's called, and it's by Smolderen and Clarice.
What did it say Harry Hortog on the back?
Because that's the bookstore where I bought it from.
Where's a bookstore called Harry Hortog live?
There's one in Macquarie.
Macquarie, okay.
And they're owned by Berkelo.
Lovely. Nate's here. Hey, Nate.
What's going on?
Rank all of the X titles right now.
Oh, man.
Out of liters of breast milk.
Man, that's our official ranking.
The main title's all you need.
Yeah, really. That's true.
That's all I'm reading, so good.
Yeah. But the rest of it is dope, too. The rest of it is like, it's like the rest of the 76ers. Just think about that. Just let that wash over.
What? the only other thing I wanted to mention is I got this really cool collection of some previously unreleased Jack Kirby stuff. So it collects, it's so funny reading the context of these series, because it's three series called True Life Divorce, Soul Love, and Dingbats of Danger Street. And basically DC approached Jack Kirby and were like, we want you to do whatever you want, really crazy. And Jack Kirby was like, right, I'm going to do this really avant-garde thing aimed at adults, and it's going to be like really amazing. It's going to be like different formats and all this kind of stuff. It's going to be really cool. And then DC were like, no, we want you to do exactly what you've always done. And then they didn't like what he produced, so half of the stuff's like unfinished, but it's still like unfinished Jack Kirby stuff. Like, it's so good, man.
Oh my God, look at some of those covers too.
Yeah, so this collection...
Has it been recently recolored? Is that...
Some of the stuff was colored, but then didn't actually make it to release. But it's funny. It's because that last stuff.
Who's this? Who did the colors on this one? That is insane.
I have no idea. I don't know if that was him.
That's got to be like very recent color work.
Yeah, probably. Man, don't know. Because so much of it's like super unfinished.
Wow, what a cool collection.
But they aimed at adults. And so like there's like true divorce stories and stuff like that. It's pretty funny. But
Marriage Story, the comic.
Yeah, exactly. I do recommend checking this out if you can find it. It's published by, I don't know actually who it's published by, Tomorrow's Publishing. Just a random book publisher. And it's called Jack Kirby's Dingbat Love.
Amazing title.
Yeah.
And then the other one you were talking about was Diabolical Summer.
Yes.
Which is out through IDW.
Yep.
Those are great recommendations.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for making time for me to come and be in your house.
Yeah, thanks for coming over.
As our children get older, it may get easier for us to record.
You never know.
King's Comics will be reopening in March, and we may be able to tee something up. I don't know.
Fingers crossed.
Thanks for your patience, and I appreciate everyone talking in the group about comics. You can do so too over at facebook.com/groups/seriousissuespodcast. An enormous thank you to everyone who still like gives a couple bucks our way each month for the Patreon. We do not deserve that money.
but it's very, very kind of you, and we do appreciate it.
And that was the main factor making me go, we need to record.
We have to
so
do this.
So it's because of you that this episode exists, and we can't
So we hope we you enjoyed you enough. It. Us just rambling vaguely about comics that we're barely getting time to read.
Like, there's like a handful of people still there. I don't blame anyone who was like, okay.
No, not at all.
Yeah, yeah, but because I definitely would have. But,
but I appreciate it.
I really, really appreciate it. We know that this show means a lot to a lot of people. And we will try and record it more. It just is it's a feat. We will never stop reading comics, and we'll never stop talking about comics. We'll never stop not having enough people in our lives to talk to about comics.
Absolutely. I'll never stop having really annoying opinions about comics.
hopefully very soon we'll be able to record again.
Yeah.
In the meantime, we'll be in the Facebook group, or you can find us on Twitter at SiobhanCBG.
Yep.
Siobhan.
Finish.
I'm at LevDog, LevDaw. I'm very used to being interrupted mid plug. It's fine.
I was just going to say, guys, I'm putting on a convention.
Oh, fuck. We should have opened the episode with this.
Yeah, sorry. I'm so
You know what?
Promo.
You know what? We're going to stop recording.
Okay.
And the beginning of the episode will be you plugging.
Okay. All right. Cool.
All right. Well, thank you so much for everything, and we'll see you soon, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Or you can go back and listen to the beginning, and we'll see you then.
Hey.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.